as visually resplendent as Gozzoli's Procession of the Magi in Florence. Most writers lose touch with childhood. Since I read Spanish badly, I can't claim to be a barba completist, but the books I've read in English deal with children as wise as they are cruel, even perverse. Andres Barba was born in 1975. He studied philosophy in university and can write thoughtful observations. The world of childhood was crushing us with its preconceived notions, which is why a large part of the irritation people felt for the 32 had less to do with whether it was natural for children to have perpetrated an act of violence than it did with the rage triggered by the fact those very children had not confirmed their sugar-coated stereotypes of childhood. Barba has written many books, including poetry, and translated more, including Moby Dick and Alice in Wonderland. He won the Premio Heralde for this novel, which will be translated into 20 languages. A Luminous Republic shows a childhood of freedom and anarchy. How Nietzsche would have loved this novel. This is a book at once heavy and light, Caliban and Ariel, somber and comic. It will open your eyes. When I am asked about the 32 children who lost their lives in San Cristobal, my response varies, depending on the age of my interlocutor. If we're the same age, I say that understanding is simply a matter of piecing together that which was previously seen as disjointed. If they're younger, I ask if they believe in bad omens. Almost always they'll say no, as if doing so would mean they had little regard for freedom. I ask no more questions and then tell them my version of events, because this is all I have, and because it would be pointless to try to convince them that believing or not is less about their regard for freedom than their naive faith in justice. If I were a little more forthright or a little less of a coward, I'd always begin my story the same way. Almost everyone gets what they deserve, and bad omens do exist. Oh, they most certainly do. The day I arrived in San Cristobal 20 years ago now, I was a young civil servant with the Department of Social Affairs in Estepi, who'd just been promoted. In the space of a few years, I'd gone from being a skinny kid with a law degree to a recently married man whose happiness gave him a slightly more attractive air than he no doubt would otherwise have had. Life struck me as a simple series of adversities, relatively easy to overcome, which led to a death that was perhaps not simple, but was inevitable and thus didn't merit thinking about. I didn't realize back then that in fact that was what happiness was, what youth was, and what death was. And although I wasn't in essence mistaken about anything, I was making mistakes about everything. I'd fallen in love with a violin teacher from San Cristobal who was 3 years my senior, mother of a 9-year-old girl. They were both named Maya, and both had intense eyes, tiny noses, and brown lips that I thought were the pinnacle of beauty. At times I felt they'd chosen me during some secret meeting, and I was so happy to have fallen for the pair of them that when I was offered the opportunity to transfer to San Cristobal, I ran to Maya's house to tell her and asked her to marry me then and there. I was offered the post because 2 years earlier in Estepi, I had developed a social integration program for indigenous communities. The idea was simple, and the program proved to be an effective model. It consisted of granting the indigenous exclusive rights to farm certain specific products. For that city, we chose oranges, and then tasked the indigenous community with supplying almost 5,000 people. The program nearly descended into chaos when it came to distribution, but in the end, the community rallied, and after a period of readjustment, created a small and very solvent cooperative, which to this day is, to a large degree, self-financing. The program was so successful that the state government contacted me through the Commission of Indigenous Settlements, requesting that I reproduce it with San Cristobal's 3,000 Ñe'e inhabitants. They offered me housing and a managerial post in the Department of Social Affairs. In no